Hello and welcome to the Heathrow results for the 3 months to 31st March 2024. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Please note this call is being recorded. Today I'm pleased to present Javier Echave. Please begin your meeting.
Thank you, Annika, and welcome to all, and thanks for joining us today. I'm Javier Echave, Chief Financial Officer at Heathrow, and with me is Sally Ding, Director of Treasury and Corporate Finance, who by the end of the week will be acting as Heathrow's CFO as I'm transitioning to take the Chief Operating Officer role. Today, we will share our financial results for the first 3 months of 2024, and I will start by providing an overview of our business and financial metrics, and then Sally will provide more details on our financial performance and the latest outlook for the year. Finally, we will open the floor for any questions you may have. So let me start the presentation with an overview of our business and financial highlights on slide five. We had a strong start to the year, welcoming 18.5 million passengers, and we saw our busiest months of February and March ever recorded. In addition, we have made significant progress in improving passenger service, and I'm delighted that 94% of passengers pass through security in under 5 minutes, despite the record traffic level, representing a significant increase compared to last year. On punctuality, it also improved, and we saw departures punctuality outperforming arrivals. Our capital investment plan is progressing well, and we are starting to see the benefits of it across all our terminals. From a financial perspective, revenue declined to £808 million, impacted by the much lower charges set by the Civil Aviation Authority, our independent regulator, and consequently, our adjusted EBITDA was £443 million. Despite this, we managed to post a small underlying profit before tax. Our liquidity and the balance sheet remain strong, with comfortable headroom on our gearing ratios across all levels of our capital structure. And I'm pleased to share that our new strategy has been launched to refocus on the future of our airport and establish some fresh goals. Based on the strong demand in Q1 and the continuing trend in traffic, we're expecting to exceed our current passenger forecast. And today we are reviewing our 2024 traffic outlook and increasing it to 82.4 million passengers for the entire year. Finally, you might have seen in the news that our current COO, the great Emma Gilthorpe, will leave Heathrow after 15 years with us, and I will become the new Chief Operating Officer. I'm really excited with the change, but sadly, this also means that today is my last results presentation, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your continued support of Heathrow over so many years. Turning to slide seven for our refreshed strategy. After spending some time rebuilding our operation on the back of the pandemic, now is the time to refresh our strategy and to shift our focus to the future. And that's why we're structuring the strategy under a very clear purpose, clear vision, but also clear values, with six new strategic priorities and three foundations. Thomas Wolby, our Chief Exec, will be delighted to share all the details about it and what it means to our business in the next investor events in the months to come. But let me now give you some flavor on some key elements of this refreshed strategy. First of all, and starting with our purpose, which is why we do what we do, it will remain unchanged, making every journey better. But we are keen to unfold it, to make it even more clear that our commitment for improvement is not only to passengers, but to all the journeys that we impact. This reflects everyone that the business touches, which includes obviously passengers, but also customers, colleagues, shareholders, and you, investors. We are committing to make every journey better, including yours. And obviously, central to our renewed focus is our new vision to be an extraordinary airport fit for the future. We are already doing extraordinary things, and we are extraordinary in many ways today, but we want to extend that across everything we do now, but also in the future. And finally, our values also remain unchanged. It is a set of qualities describing the culture we want to experience and key to our identity. Through these values, we will protect the safety and well-being of our people and customers, strive for excellence, champion and respect the diversity and talent of our people. All of this absolutely critical to deliver on our vision. Moving to our traffic performance on slide 9, during the first quarter of the year, a total of 18.5 million passengers traveled through Heathrow, representing a 9% increase versus the same period last year. The strong performance during what is a traditionally quieter period was in part driven by growth on key business routes like Delhi and Mumbai, as well as a strong North America traffic. The UK, Latin America, and Asia-Pacific, with double-digit growth, also supported this strong start of the year. We now have more options for passengers with 6 new airline routes to Abu Dhabi, Kos, Izmir, Bangalore, Barcelona, and Paris Orly. In fact, it's the first time Heathrow has served the route to Paris Orly since 2017. We have seen larger aircrafts and improvements in load factors provide further opportunities for growth in the future. Finally, we also saw in Q1 the normalization of belly hold capacity, which has led to increased cargo tonnage. Moving to slide 10, you can see our service and operational metrics. And as you saw, our new strategy is about the journey we are on being an extraordinary airport fit for the future. And it's great to see the progress we are already making this year with smooth journeys for the record number of passengers who choose to travel through Heathrow. We achieve an overall airport service quality rating of 4.02, a slight improvement compared to Q1 2023, while welcoming 11% more departing passengers compared to last year. Operational resilience was strong, with a significant improvement in security performance of 93.6% of direct passengers passing through security within 5 minutes. And finally, baggage connection performance was also improved. On top of this, the airfield has been performing exceptionally well lately, with improved operational efficiency leading to faster aircraft turnaround. All of this has resulted in our departures being more punctual than our arrivals. Turning to slide 11 for an update on our capital investments. In the first quarter of 2024, we invested £320 million, reaching the halfway point of our £4.3 billion of capital investment across the H7 regulatory period. We have over 450 projects structured across 6 programs designed to enhance safety, resilience, compliance, but obviously commercial revenue as well. Bringing some highlights of some of these programs, our next generation security program is progressing well as we continue to make good progress across all terminals, and we move towards completing a total of 146 new security lanes as part of our $1 billion investment program in the next generation security equipment. This new technology will enhance further the security that we provide to all of our passengers while transforming your experience as passengers. In the Terminal 2 baggage program, the new state-of-the-art baggage system for Terminal 2 is being designed by our newly appointed strategic baggage partner, Boehmer Group, and the IT replacement works have already begun. Carbon and sustainability program, again, progressing. The rollout of electric vehicle chargers continues, along with plans for the new carbon-efficient preconditioner units for aircraft stands. On the commercial side, the commercial program has seen a small but powerful investment of £12 million across commercial propositions to enhance our retail, digital, and surface access proposition. And finally, in the asset management and compliance program, we are making good progress on the current portfolio of 160 live projects, with 7 additional projects completed in Q1. So hopefully you will agree with me that we are making great and efficient use of the investment that you are generously enabling. Now turning to slide 12 to discuss a few of the key structural features that will enable us to be fit for the future. Let's start with regulation. First of all, in March, the CAA published a further consultation, which hopefully will become the H7 final issues consultation. In this consultation, the CAA deals with both the matters that were remitted to the CAA by the Competition Markets Authority through its final determination, as well as the matters the CAA was not able to resolve prior to making the final decision in March 2023. Among other issues, the consultation is proposing adjustments to a number of elements, including the approach to calculated adjustment revenues for 2020 and 2021, as well as the cost of debt calculation as part of the H7 weighted average cost of capital assumption, for instance. According to the CAA, all of these elements taken together would result in a further revenue reduction of around £184 million and lead to a 6% lower nominal tariffs for 2025 and 2026. Although this is disappointing, this is something that was absolutely expected, and our business plan is fully aligned with these final changes. So overall, no changes to the forecast already shared with credit communities and importantly with credit rating agencies. At this stage, we are now finalizing the review of all the details of the consultation, and we will respond to the CAA consultation ahead of the 1st of May deadline. Additionally, in March, the CAA has another consultation called Setting Future Price Controls. And we responded to that consultation already, in this occasion jointly with airlines, to request that the regulatory process should be more efficient and the benefit of consumers, mainly related with timing. We believe, strongly believe, that the CAA's consultation process shouldn't take 3 years and shall be completed on time, exactly the opposite of what happened in H7. The CAA has committed to issuing its response during spring 2024, and this should trigger further action for the next regulatory period, H8, including a more detailed timetable and initial high-level indicative plan. Looking into the future and the long-term growth and capacity developments, we continue to commit to expanding capacity to meet the demand and should be able to provide more thoughts later in the year once further internal work has been completed. Moving to our sustainability plan, Heathrow 2.0, we have issued our second sustainability-linked bond, which is the first in the sterling market to include all scopes of carbon emissions. And this continues to demonstrate our commitment to sustainability, integrating it into our funding strategy. In addition, we are proud to be among the first adopters of the Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures, TNFD, which will enable us to transparently measure our impact on nature. And finally, we successfully launched the first lift-off event of 2024, a great opportunity to attract sustainable and innovative small and medium enterprises with a strong focus on zero waste and construction and energy. I will now hand over to Sally to talk about our financial performance and outlook for the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Javier. Hello, everyone. I will now share an overview of our key financial performance, starting on slide 14. We had a strong start of the year in the first quarter, with passenger numbers growing to 18.5 million and our revenue decreasing slightly to £808 million. Operating costs increased to £365 million and adjusted EBITDA decreased to £443 million. Our profit before tax, after removing the non-cash fair value changes in financial instruments and investment properties, was £83 million, a significant increase versus last year's losses. Our balance sheet remains strong, with liquidity at £3.8 billion of additional funding we did. This allowed us to increase capital expenditure, with spending increasing by around 90% to £320 million. Finally, our regulatory asset base continued to benefit from higher inflation and capital spending and finished the first quarter above £20.1 billion. Let's now take a closer look at the revenue details on slide 15. Aeronautical revenue saw a decline of 5.5% due to lower aero charges set by the CAA. On the other hand, retail revenue rose by an impressive 12.8%. This was attributed to a rise in the number of passengers and an increase in car parking revenue. Other revenue saw an increase of 4.2%, driven by higher other regulated charges, we call it ORC, from higher passenger numbers, offset by lower surface access revenue. Let's now move on to slide 16 and look at our cost base in more detail. Operating costs increased by 11% to £365 million, due to increased capacity, inflation, and resourcing. Employment costs have increased as we needed additional resources to accommodate the higher demand. This includes costs associated with additional colleagues, overtime, recruitment, training initiatives, and third-party resourcing. The increase in maintenance costs is largely attributed to terminal cleaning and the conservation efforts across terminal, airside, and baggage areas. This is to ensure a safe and well-maintained environment for our passengers and our colleagues. Additionally, utilities and other costs have remained stable as we are now operating at full capacity. Turning to slide 17, let's have a look at our net debt position. Heathrow SP's net debt closed at £14.6 billion. In line with strong EBITDA performance, net cash generated from operating activities was £452 million. This contributed to our strong liquidity of £3.8 billion, which is sufficient to meet our forecast needs for at least the next 18 months. Our net cash capital investment was £186 million, and the final driver to net debt is payments of accretion on our inflation debt. Many thanks for all of your continued support that we have successfully issued £750 million bond in total this year so far. This includes, first, a £300 million 8-year Class B sustainability-linked bonds. And as Javier said before, it was our debut sterling SLB and the first SLB in the sterling market to include all scopes of emissions. And secondly, a £400 million 7-year holdco bond at Heathrow Finance. This is the largest bond that Heathrow Finance has ever completed. With regard to redemptions, we repaid a Class B bond of £600 million in February and a Heathrow Finance bond of £300 million in March. Although we have already secured the majority of our funding for the year, we're still looking to raise additional £250 million by the end of this year. Moving to slide 18 for an update on our gearing. As you can see, sufficient covenant headroom has been maintained across all three classes of our capital structure, providing financial flexibility. As you can see, the group gearing currently stands at 82.8%. This compares to a covenant level of 92.5%. To understand better the trends on our gearing, it's relevant to remind how RAB has been performing in the past few years. Higher inflation increases the value of our RAB as it is directly linked to RPI combined with capital expenditure. As inflation stabilizes and reduces, we expect this trend to revert. You should expect to return gradually to prior levels of RAB growth. Another element that can impact our RAB is the traffic risk sharing mechanism that introduced in H7. We call it TRS. The new mechanism considers over and underperformance in actual traffic levels compared to the forecasted levels set by CAA H7 settlement. If actual traffic is different than projected, adjustments are made to our RAB at the end of the year. The adjustment would be subsequently amortized through aeronautical charges. As an illustration of what happened in 2023, in December 2023, the outperformance in traffic created a downward adjustment in the RAB of circa £90 million that will be amortized linearly through lower aero charges over the following 10 years, starting from 2025. Finally, turning to slide 19 for our updated outlook for the year. The strong demand in Q1 and the continuing trend will likely see us outperforming the December guidance. We therefore have revised our 2024 traffic outlook to 82.4 million passengers, with adjusted EBITDA for 2024 being expected to reach £1.9 billion. We will provide a revised outlook and associated financial forecast in the June investor report. With that, I conclude the financial review and hand it back to Javier. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sally. And obviously, as my last results presentation, I am filled with a mix of emotions, any of them bad, don't worry. On the one hand, I feel a sense of pride, of accomplishment for the journey I've embarked on over the past 8 years, which has absolutely fly by. And on the other hand, there's excitement as I transition into the new role. If you can bear with me for a few seconds, there are a couple of thanks I want to make. First of all, is I want to say thank you to everyone at Hydro Finance, my team, for their support and dedication. Your phenomenal hard work and commitment have been the driving force behind all the successes over the last few years, and I'm incredibly proud and for everything we have achieved together. And more importantly, I'm extremely grateful, forever grateful for all of you bringing the best of you for so many years. During my time as CFO, we have achieved remarkable milestones and overcome numerous challenges, from ensuring the financial stability of Hydro to driving transformative changes in our processes and our data and digital, as well as shifting our financing to a sustainable platform. None of this would have been possible without the dedication and teamwork of our genuinely exceptional finance team. Obviously, I would also like to take a moment to recognize everyone attending this call, to recognize the support we have received from our relationship banks, credit rating agencies, investor community, and all of our Hydro partners. Your collaboration and partnership have been absolutely instrumental in our success, and I'm truly grateful for your ongoing support. Obviously, as I transition into my new role as COO, I'm excited about the opportunities that lie ahead for Hydro, and I'm confident that with our collective efforts and commitment to excellence, we will continue to make every journey better for our customers, but also for absolutely all stakeholders. So with that, I conclude the presentation, and I would like to hand back to Annika to coordinate participant questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask an audio question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing star two again to cancel. Once again, please press star one to register for a question. There will be a brief pause whilst questions are being registered. Once again, if you do wish to ask an audio question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. It seems that there are no audio questions at this moment.
We have one question in there. So,
we have two questions.
Okay. So, let me look at those. Great. So the first question comes from the line. Can you please describe how the CAA adjustments to aeronautical fees will impact full year 2025 and full year 2026 EBITDA? Are there levers you can pull, mainly cost, to offset the impact to the bottom line? Thanks, Jonathan, for your question. So yes, I think that the reductions that the CAA has made will reduce our aeronautical charges, which means that our revenue will decline, and then obviously our EBITDA will decline pound by pound. As I mentioned earlier, this is not a surprise. This is something that we have already assumed in our business plan, and therefore part of the strategy that we are putting forward is a combination of, first of all, grow our consumer base as much as possible. So it's fantastic news that we have started 2024 with such a strong level of performance, and hopefully that will maintain and even grow in the years to come. But also, as you can see in our press release, the charges that the CAA has indicated or has imposed on us has created a gap of around £400 million that we are committed to deliver through operational efficiencies primarily. So the intention is to become more, having more passengers, but also becoming more efficiencies. And again, all of this was factored in our business plan. Second question is about free cash flow. Looks like it will be lower than historically due to lower EBITDA and higher CapEx. How will dividends be funded? So completely right. I think that you can see that Heathrow is, we're returning very much to the normal situation of Heathrow back in 2019. In terms of free cash flow generation, again, it will decrease because of lower EBITDA. And again, we are catching up on investment. Heathrow has a statutory depreciation of around £800 million. So as you can see, we are gradually moving towards that level of investment. In the investor report, we already communicated that we are forecasting £940 million or so this year. And in terms of dividends, obviously, the great thing is that our RAB is also growing. I think that one of the fundamental features of our regulatory system is that investment will be added to the RAB, which is allowing us to really fund some of that investment. Probably underline your question is about dividends driver. We have a stable gearing level. As Sally mentioned, that has been fueled, among other things, by inflation. But we expect that RAB growth will moderate in the next few years. So which means that you should expect that the gearing, as inflation starts to calm down, gearing will gradually return to levels that were more commensurate to what we have before the pandemic. Next question is about funding. So, Sally, do you want to cover that one?
Yeah, I'll take that one. The question was, I mentioned about additional £250 million debt and where this funding will come from. As we said in the full year results, that we have around £1 billion funding to do in 2024. Majority of them would be from Clusby and Holdco. Now, with the completion of £350 million Clusby and £400 million Holdco, the rest of the £250 million would be mainly on the senior format. We will continue to look at different markets, both public and private, and looking at different currencies, as we always do, to see where the relative value makes most sense to us.
Great. There are a few more questions, so let me continue. So first, could you kindly provide an update on the recent CAA consultation to reduce charges? Well, the CAA issued what we hope is the final consultation after a long period. The consultation closes for submission of responses on the 1st of May. We are in the process of doing that. As the CAA pointed in the consultation, they expect that the combined effect of all the changes will reduce our aeronautical charges by an additional £185 million haircut on the years 2025 and 2026, so no changes to 2024. And as I mentioned earlier, those reductions were already assumed in our business plan. Obviously, it's extremely disappointed on the one hand that the CAA is so late, 3 years already into the process, continue making changes to the settlement, which again, I think is part of the other consultation around the future of regulation. But on the other hand, if there's something to take positive, is that hopefully this will be the end, and it's now for us, management team, to deliver on those constraints. There are two questions, similar questions around, can you give more color or an update on any potential ownership changes or what's the situation with that? I think probably the short story, the short answer to that question is that you know as much as I know about what's going on in the transaction. This is very much a transaction among the shareholders. Shareholders have been very transparent about the things that they can share at the time that they can share. And obviously, this is something that is very much dealt by shareholders directly. What I can say is that part of our focus is to make sure that we continue delivering on our strategy and our plan. And I'm glad to see, and hopefully you will agree with you, that we have succeeded in the fact of not being distracted by all these potential transactions that's happening among shareholders and remain committed to our delivery for passengers. There's another question around the current situation with Thames Water has increased scrutiny on whole business securitization structures. How would Heathrow be different in the unlikely event of a special administration regime? Great question, Sean. I think that probably the short answer is that we have nothing to compare with Thames Water. We have different structure in the sense of in aviation, there's no special administration regime. And also we are coming from a very, very different business reality. In comparison with Thames, we have invested more than £11 billion of capex through the last few years to transform the level of service that we have. And in fact, we have been rated by passengers for 5 consecutive years the best airport in Europe. So also, I think financially, I think we have a very strong liquidity position, a very healthy gearing headrooms. And therefore, although we are very sympathetic with our colleagues in Thames Water, I have to say that we have nothing to compare with Thames Water. Finally, I think there's a question around what's the financial impact of the upwards traffic revision on the RAB through the traffic resharing mechanism. So I think as Sally explained, I think that this is a new mechanism in 8.7. In the past, we used to have a full exposure to passenger volumes, but as part of the new regulatory settlement, I think that that exposure to traffic has changed. And that means that if we're going to outperform traffic in comparison with the traffic forecast set by the CAA, we will share that outperformance 50-50 with airlines. So financially, how it works is that in year, we will collect and we will reflect that outperformance, that 100% of that outperformance in the EBITDA. But then also, we will take a negative adjustment, a haircut on our RAB for the 50% of that outperformance that will be then subsequently amortized over 10 years in our charges. As Sally mentioned, the impact of that adjustment in the RAB for the 2023 outperformance was around 90 million. And in 2024, based on the outlook that we are sharing with you today, 82.4 million passengers, we expect that the sharing of that performance through the RAB will be around £33 million. So I think that that's all the questions that we have in the system. Annika, let's check again if there's any question coming from the line.
Once again, please press star one on your telephone keypad for an audio question. Once again, it's star one for an audio question. There are currently no audio questions.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all. Probably the last thing to mention is that from now on, I will leave you on the extremely competent and caring hands of Sally. You know, Sally, she has been an exceptional, loyal and extraordinary collaborator, especially to me, for the past 20 years that we have been working together. And I'm super proud to leave her in a stronger Heathrow than the one I took over 8 years ago. But what I also know is that with her in the lead, the best of Heathrow is still ahead of us. So with that, thank you all, and I very much looking forward to seeing you around the terminals. Have a nice day.
Thank you. This now concludes our presentation. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.